continue our series, Letters from Paul. Paul had a lot to say to the New Testament church, and he, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote many letters to the early church to give us direction on discipleship, on theology, on church government. And the main thing was he wanted us to know that we had been set free from the power of sin, that we are saved by grace, and he was really big about protecting that and learning to be people who follow the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life, keeping in step with the Spirit. Now, today, you guys picked the right service because you're going to get to hear the majority of this message today. Second service, you're going to have to go online to hear all this, so you're going to get a firsthand revelation of what the Spirit has dropped in my heart to speak to you this week about. Today, I want to talk to you about know who you are and be who you are. Know who you are and be who you are. Let's say it together. Say, know who you are, be who you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, who you be. There you go. All right. Know who you are and be who you are. You know, this our Christian walk, Paul tells us, and we see all through Scripture, that none of us are perfect, okay? Well, even after we are saved, after we've been redeemed, we still know that from time to time, we're still going to have times when we struggle with the sin in our life. We're still not people who are going to be perfect. But the goal of the mature Christian is that we should win more than we sin. Are you hearing me? The goal of the mature Christian is we should win more than we sin. We should be having times when we are defeating and walking in this power that Paul talks about when he says we have been given power over sin in our life. Now, last week I started this talk of Romans in chapter 6, and I want to go back to Romans chapter 6 and kind of finish up this chapter, giving you some insight, what I believe, that we got to know who we are so we can be who we are. Romans 6, let's pick it up in verses 8 through 11 today. Now, if we have what? Died with Christ. Everybody say died. Paul said, we have died with Christ. We believe that we will also live with him. So we discussed last week that at salvation, that we die with Christ. That means that our sins die at the cross with Jesus. And then we, at salvation, I am here, Jesus is here, and when I accept the power of the cross, what Jesus did on the cross for me, that I am united with Christ at that instant. I am united with Christ. I can walk with Christ in fellowship, in my spirit, in my heart, and that in my mind, I can walk in one with the Holy Spirit and with what Jesus is coming to make me one with him. He says that we are united with him. We have died with Christ. We believe now that we will also live with him. This is not just talking about heaven. It's also talking about here on earth as well, that we are living with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Isn't it awesome? It says that Christ died for our sins, and what? Now that death has no dominion over him, and I am united with him. For the death he died to what? The sin. Once and for all. Once for all. But the life he lives, to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God. We are dead to sin and alive to God. See, if I want to know who I am, who am I? I am dead to sin. As a Christian, I am dead to sin. Who am I and who I be? Know who you are and be who you are. Who am I? I'm dead to sin, and I'm alive now to God. I am dead to sin, and now I'm alive to God. This is a thing that should be in the heart of every believer, that when you grasp this concept, that, you know what, I died to sin, I died to my old sinful nature, and now I have become united with Christ, and now I'm alive to serve God. I have been empowered to serve God, as we've been talking about throughout these first 8 verses in chapter 6 of Romans. Paul uses the phrase all throughout Scripture that, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? He speaks to the church all the time. Do you not know that you have been called, that you have been bought with a price? Do you not know that you are dead to sin? He uses this all throughout his letters. We see this phrase that Paul says, do you not know? Why? Because Paul understood that he believed that we needed Christian education. He knew that we need to be educated as Christians on who we are. Because if we don't understand who we are, we can't act like who we're supposed to be. He's like, man, you gotta act a certain way. There's a way that we're called to live our life. If you don't understand who you really are, you can't walk in that. So he made sure in all of his teachings, we see it time and time again, he reminds us that we are dead to our old man. We are dead to our old self. We are dead to the power of sin in our life, and we are alive to God. We sung about that in our first song, didn't we? I'm alive today. We are alive in him. This is the theme. This is our anthem, that we are dead. The old man is dead, and I have become alive to Jesus. Look at this statement here I made. I want you to get this. We don't obey. We don't obey to be redeemed. We are redeemed so we can obey. Are you getting this? We don't obey to be redeemed. We are redeemed so we can obey. I don't earn my salvation. I don't earn my grace, as you've heard me teaching throughout this series, that we are saved by grace. We're not saved by works. It's a transformation. Remember last week we talked about the transformation in the first 8 verses. I am transformed now. I'm transformed. At salvation, I am transformed. Look at this. We don't obey to be redeemed. We are redeemed so we can obey. This is the great example I see in Scripture. We see, remember we're talking about in Scripture, we see the stories of the Old Testament point to our relationship with God in the New Testament, right? And so we see this happening in the children of Israel. Is one of the great stories. We see this. Did God tell Moses, Moses, hey, first of all, go redeem my people, and then I will set them free. Did he do that? What did he do? He said, first, go set my people free, right? He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Tell them I am setting them free. He set the children of Israel free first. They leave the power of being slaves. They travel, and they go to the mount. And there on the mount, then God gives them the law. See, he sets them free, and then he gives them the law. Are you following the pattern? You see, for many of us here, we get it reversed. We think, well, when I can follow the law, when I can obey God's word, then I can become redeemed. No, I am redeemed first through grace, because we are never good enough on our own. As we study time and time again throughout the series, we are never good enough on our own. Whether you have one sin or you have 10,000 sins, doesn't make a difference. We're never good enough on our own. We must be redeemed, right? And so I am redeemed at salvation. I have been dead to sin, and now it empowers me to follow the law. Now it empowers me to obey Christ. It empowers me to obey God's word. He set them free from being slaves first, and then he said, all right, here's my law. Now I want you to follow it. And we get this opposite mindset in our mind. We think we got to follow the law so that we can be redeemed. No, God redeems us first, so it empowers us now that we can live for him. So Paul says we need to know who we are so we can be who we are. We have been crucified with Christ. The power of sin is no more in my life. Now let me give you an example here. If we went on a safari, anybody here interested in going on a safari? Come on, if you want a free trip to Africa to go on a safari, how many would like that? Some of you guys really like that stuff. I can tell you, I would like that, and so would you. Unless on that safari that our Jeep breaks down. Out there in the middle of the jungle. And all of a sudden, we hear this roar of a lion. And we turn around. It's kind of like Jurassic Park. You know, you're just kind of afraid to look over your shoulder because you heard it coming from over there. And you turn around and you're face to face with a lion. Now, how many think you would be afraid, wouldn't you? Me too. We would have to bring some extra pair of pants for Pastor Gene. Just telling you. Well, I would be in fear that this thing would kill me. I would be in fear that I am becoming lunch for somebody. This family of lions is about to eat really good. Come on now. And so I was in fear. But now listen, see, what happens is this. As a Christian, as a believer, this scenario changes. Now, let's say as a believer today, we go and we visit the zoo, one of the big zoos in the area. Maybe we go to Tulsa or to St. Louis, Kansas City, and we visit one of the big zoos, and we see the lions in the cage there, right? And we say, boy, those lions are pretty. We'll listen to them roar. Look at, come on, let's take pictures. We're getting selfies with the lions in the background. We're not afraid, are we? We're not afraid of lions at the zoo. Why is that? Why aren't we afraid of lions at the zoo? Why? I'm not afraid of lions at the zoo because they're in a cage, right? Same lions. One, I'm out there with them. The other, I'm observing from a distance. It's in a cage. You see, at the cross, when Jesus died on the cross for you and I, he took that lion and put him in a cage. Now, does that lion have power over my life to destroy my life? No, not unless I decide to do something really stupid, like climb the cage wall. Unless I do something really stupid, like climb the cage wall and get right in there with the lion's cage, I'm not going to be hurt. Some of you follow me here today. See, we have been dead to sin. The power of sin has been broken in our life. And the only way that we can suffer harm is we get back into the cage with that sin. Because the power has been broken. At the cross, that sin has been put in a cage. It no longer has the power over my life unless I give it power. It's us that gives it power because Jesus broke the power. For every believer here, we are dead to sin, raised to the dead with him. Jesus didn't die for us to live a better life. Let me say again, Jesus didn't die on the cross for us to live a better life. He died on the cross that you and I would live a new life. He doesn't want to make your life better. He wants to give you a new life. He says, we old things have all passed away. All things become new. We are a new creation. We receive a new heart. Scripture says we receive a new mind. It says we receive a new song. Come on now, we have been made new. So today we have children in this room that have been adopted from other countries in this room. Isn't this correct? We have children in this room and in our church that people have adopted a child from a different country, and they were able to bring that child over here. Through the adoption process, they got papers. That child becomes a U.S. citizen, correct? Right. And so what we realize this is that at our salvation, that you and I, the scripture says, we are adopted into the family of God. We are adopted into the kingdom of God. We are adopted. We become his children. We are adopted. Now, let me ask you this question. When those children, let's say you adopt a child from, let's throw out a word, the Philippines, okay? Maybe you adopt a child from the Philippines. Can that child come here and receive papers? Yes, through adoption. If you're an American citizen, when you adopt that child, you're able to get the papers necessary so that child receives its U.S. citizenship. And they grow up as U.S. citizens, even though they were born in the Philippines. Now, can that child, when it grows up and it gets older, can they decide to go back and visit the Philippines? Yes, they can. A child has a free will. If they want to go back and visit where they came from, they can do that. If they want to go back and observe and meet people, they can do that. But the great thing about being adopted and getting a new citizenship is this, is that they can never be rejected to come back home because they have papers saying that they belong to the U.S. If they're U.S. citizens, they can return home anytime they want. You see what's happening here? You and I, we are adopted into the kingdom of God. We have received a kingdom citizenship. If I want, I can choose to go over here and say, you know what, boy, I remember that old life. I may even fall to it on occasion and say, man, I slipped in something. But you know what? I don't have to stay there. I've been given power and authority to pick myself up and go back to where I belong. See, the power of sin has lost its hold in my life. I have received a new citizenship. I have received new spiritual papers. I am now a part of the kingdom of God. I have received a child of God certificate in my spiritual heart that says I am a part of the kingdom of God. I can now return anytime I choose. When we accept Christ, we are adopted in the family of God. I have authority to leave my sinful old self. But the problem is we let our feelings control us way too much, don't we? We let our feelings control us way too much. We got to start letting the facts control us. Because as Christians, even though the facts say, as salvation, I've received God's grace, I'm dead to sin. That's what the facts say. I'm now got new citizens paper. My feelings are like, well, you know what? That's what happened, but I don't know. I think I really need to earn it. My feelings say I'm not really good enough. My feelings say God could never love me. That's all right for that person over there, but man, that's not for me. I'm way too bad for that. It's kind of like the story of the Japanese soldier who was in World War II, and when the Japanese surrendered at the end of World War II, he was a part of that. And he never came out of the jungle in Guam. He stayed in Guam. He stayed hiding in the jungles of Guam for 28 years. He stayed in hiding. And then finally he came out one day in the 70s. He came walking out like, dude, the war's over. Japanese surrendered a long time ago. We repaired that relationship. It's gone. It's done. You know, it's different. And he made the statement. He says, I know that people told me that the Japanese were surrendering. But in my heart, I felt like the Japanese would never surrender. And so I stayed in hiding. He stayed in hiding in the jungle for 28 years, fighting a war that wasn't going on. The facts were that the war was ended. But because he didn't feel like the war was going to end, because he didn't think it was really true, he stayed in hiding, didn't live his life. See, many of us, that's the way we are. We're really free. We've been set free through the power of the cross, but we're not living our life as free men and women. We're not living our life as free citizens in the kingdom of God. We're allowing the power of sin, we're allowing the power of being a slave to sin continually to drag us down because we don't feel like we're saved. Oh, I know God did that for everybody, but my sin was greater than their sin. So I'm not really free. Your sin wasn't as great as my sin, so I don't feel as free. I know I was free, but man, I got back in the cage of that lion one time. And man, I know I was free, but I went back and visited my homeland a little longer than I should have. And we feel like we're not free. The facts are that we have been set free. Who the Son is set free is what? Who the Son is set free is free indeed. Those are the facts. Sin is dead in your life as a believer. The power of sin is dead in your life as a believer. And the only time it has power in my life is when I give it power in my life. If I choose to give it power, if I have power in my life. If I choose to walk in the authority that sin is broken in my life and I don't have to live a life addicted to that sin, I can break away and live in the freedom of Christ. Because why? Because it's been forgiven. I'm no longer a slave to that person. Let's pick it up in the last part of this verse, Romans 6, 12 through 14. Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your body to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to what? Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your body to God as instruments for righteousness. And look at the last part of this. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. I hope that you're getting this. Paul had a theme that followed all of his writings, and it was just that sin has been broken in our life. The power of sin has been broken in our life. We have received new citizenship papers that we can walk in the kingdom of God. I used to have a kingdom and the power of sin was controlling me, but at salvation, when I received and I was redeemed at salvation, I received an adoption papers into the kingdom of God. I can now walk as a king's kid. I can now walk as a child of the king. No longer do I serve a president of a certain company, but now my king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a new citizenship. And even though from time to time I may go back and say, oh, I remember this person, and I go back and I live somewhere and I try to go back. No, that doesn't have power. I've got to go back to the kingdom that I was called to live in. I'm going to go back to where I was adopted. My Heavenly Father pulled me out of that spiritual poverty. My Heavenly Father pulled me out of that spiritual poverty. He gave me a new name. He gave me new papers. And now I'm going to live in the freedom I've experienced through the relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Paul was painting this picture for you and I to grasp and get a hold of. Paul says, you got to know who you are. Now he says, you act like who you are. Now we have to decide. We have been set free from sin. So the question becomes this. Two questions we got to answer today. Will I get back into the cage with sin? And after being adopted, will I go back and live in my old kingdom? Because the power of sin has been broken. Stop going back and getting back into that cage. It's been broken in your life. Listen, some of you have wandered away. You're going back to your old man, your old flesh. No. You're better than that. You've been given a new name. You've been given new papers. Pick your head up. Realize you're a child of the King, and God has called you not to live in that place, but He's got a new place for you and I to live. If I live there, it's because I choose to, not because I have to. If I get in that cage, it's not because I have to, it's because I choose to. So it comes down to us. Am I going to make a better choice? That's all it comes down to, right? I've been set free through the grace. Am I going to crawl back in that cage? Am I going to go back and live in that old land? No. I've been set free. You've been set free today. I want you to know who you are so you can act like who you've been called to be. Be who you are. This is what Paul was continually saying to us over and over and over again. Our musicians are coming today. We're going to close with this song in just a second. But today, I want you just to bow your heads and I want to ask you a question. If you're here today, nobody's looking around but me, and we won't do anything to single you out and embarrass you. But you say, Pastor, you're talking about being a part of this kingdom of God and dying to sin by just accepting. I've been waiting. I know I need to be a Christian, and I know I've been wanting to give my life to Christ, and I know He died for me, and I hear about His love for my life, but I just never felt like I was good enough. I never felt like I was good enough to receive God's love in my life. I've never felt that way. And today, I realize it's not about me, it's about Him. I realize today that all I got to do is accept the work of the cross in my life. And God redeems me, breaking the power of sin in my life. If you've never prayed that prayer before, we won't do anything to embarrass you at all. And everybody's bowing their heads right now. I just want to ask you this question. I bet you say, Pastor, I've never prayed that prayer before. And today, I want to pray that prayer. Can you just raise your hand and say, I'm ready to pray that prayer today? Raise your hand. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? Just say, I want to join these today and pray this prayer, asking Jesus into my life. One more time. If you haven't raised it right now. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together. For those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say it out loud. And as Christians, we're going to say it out loud with you to help you along. Repeat after me and say, Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. I accept the power of the cross in my life. Thank you for dying for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live my life for you. I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, man. Awesome. Awesome. I'm going to invite you to stand today. How many know who you are today? Are you getting the picture here? How many are thankful I've received my papers, man? I've received adoption to the kingdom of God. The power of sin has been broken in my life. I'm dead to sin. We're going to close with a song. You know it says, I know who I am. Let's declare it with boldness. Let's sing it with joy. Come on.
I know who I am.
Come on.
I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
Jesus, you are mine. You are mine.
Amen. Come on, give God a hand clap one more time. Anybody glad to be set free today? Awesome. Listen to me. First of all, if you prayed that prayer today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to stop by our welcome center in the back. We have a free Bible. Inside there, we got some things we'd like to give you on what you need to do next. You need to be plugged into a church family. Now listen, this week, a lot going on. Be safe. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday with your friends and family. Don't hurt anybody on Black Friday, please. And smile real big. Tell somebody, I'm glad to be in church with you. God bless you. Thank you.